1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 14. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts. So we know right off the bat again what Paul is talking about and what he's trying to teach them. And he has things to teach them. He wants them to learn. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away from these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Look at verse 11. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit is dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and having been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The body is not one member, but many. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we ask that you just would be with us over the next few moments, that God, you'd help us to give attention to your word. God, that we might be able to be helped tonight. And Lord, you desire that we would understand how your Spirit works among us. Lord, that how you desire to move among us. And God, that you desire to do a work in this body for your glory. I pray that, Lord, we would be yielded to allowing you to do that very thing. I pray that you would just allow that we would be yielded to your Spirit. And God, that which would be glorified would not be self. It wouldn't be us. It wouldn't be me as a member or anyone else. But Lord, that your Spirit would have its way, that it would have preeminence. And God, that you would receive glory from this body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we get into chapter number 12, we're reminded that Paul is no longer talking to them about their carnality. He's trying to help them to understand spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, 13, and 14, he's going to be covering the spiritual gifts that God wants to use among them. And the struggle of the Christian life is moving from a place of carnality to spirituality. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to, come on, in Ephesians, Paul talks about it, put off the old man. He wants us to put on the new. He wants us to walk in the Spirit, that we wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And there's still a struggle, though, inside every man, the Spirit or the flesh. And you're going to be yielded one to another. And we can find this out as we've studied in the book of Corinthians so far, that they were very much given to the flesh. In fact, he even says, I can't speak to you concerning spiritual things. But I can't speak to you spiritually, but carnally. He has to talk to them about all their carnality, all the areas in which they've been yielded to the flesh. And he begins to talk about spiritual gifts. And it's very evident in the first 11 verses. If you didn't realize it as we were reading through, or if you don't remember from a few weeks ago, when we looked at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12, that Paul was trying to emphasize the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer, not the work of the believer by the hand of the Spirit. Now, there's a difference. A lot of people will say, man, I'm being used of the Spirit, and they want to talk about the things that the Spirit of God's doing in them, and that they are doing, and we want to make the things of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit of God working inside of us something of carnality that we get to brag on. But the Bible's very clear. He said this person might have this spiritual gift, and they might have this spiritual gift by the same Spirit. And the emphasis is not on the individual in whom it possesses a gift, but on the Spirit that imparts the gifts. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that the Spirit gives to all men severally as He will. And God's given you gifts. And God's given me gifts. And God desires to use them. He did. He didn't give to me for my sake and for my glory and for me to be puffed up and for me to be promoted. He gave unto me His Spirit. He imparted unto me His Spirit, and He works in my life by His Spirit that He might be able to use this body as He would, and that He might be able to move the body as He would. And he in verse number 12 says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, even also is Christ." And so God has given each individual parts of a body, and this church is a body, and every church is a body. You say, how do we know that? Because in the same chapter, in verse number 27, He says this, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." He says that to the church that is at Corinth. So this church at Corinth was a visible representation of Christ and of the body of Christ. That's what they represented. And they were all members in particular of that one body. The idea of each church being its own individual body of Christ in a particular location is what we call a local church, as opposed to a universal body that has no gathering together and has no coming together. This body of members, and members in particular, was to be a picture and a representation of Jesus Christ. And as each an individual member, the Spirit of God has divided unto them spiritual gifts. It says in verse number 11, severally or distinctly, God gave to each member a particular role. God gave to each member a particular gift. He distinctly did that. It's as if God knows how you particularly are designed to be used for His purposes in the body. No, it's kind of just exactly like that. That when He says severally, He is saying that, listen, the Spirit of God has distinctly set you aside, has distinctly gifted you, has distinctly imparted unto you certain gifts that He desires for you to use in the work of the body of Christ. And guess what? One of the gifts that He did not impart, and that's why it's important that He says, so also is Christ, because we'd understand this, that one of the parts that He did not impart unto us, and He didn't leave up to us, is the head. Yeah. He didn't leave headship up to you or me. It's not like, so pastor's the head of this body. Not at all. Never has been. No pastor ever will be the head of any body. I get to be a part of a body. I don't get to be the head of the body. I might be able to have administration in the body, but I don't get to be the head of any body that is not given of God to anyone, that is reserved only unto Christ, that He is the head of the body. When you look at someone, you don't look at their torso and say, I can identify them. Now, I mean, I understand through forensic science, I mean, all we have is a hand, and all we have is a tooth, and all we have is dental records. I get that. I understand that. But if you just got a picture of my big thumb or my little toe, unless you were very closely, I mean, really, really close to me, you probably aren't going to identify me very well with a picture of my knee. Come on. That's just a reality. But when you see this ugly mug, right? Yeah. I know exactly who that ugly guy is, right? Come on. When you see a face, And understand with me, this is a reality that God has reserved headship unto Himself. In fact, go over to Colossians in chapter number 1. In Colossians in chapter number 1, it says, and He is... I'll give you a chance to turn over there. Verse number 18. Colossians 1. It's talking about Christ. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You can go back and read it again and qualify that if you don't believe me. But it's talking about Christ. It says, and He is the head of the body. Well, which body? The church. He's the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning and the firstborn of the dead, and in all things that He might have preeminence. And listen, Christ is the head of the church. He's the one that is the face of this body. He should be the face of this body. And it's by the Spirit of God that He desires to move in the body. And it's by the Spirit of God that He wants to identify the parts of the body. And He wants to get the body mobilized for His great commission. Come on, that's what He's put you here for, is that you might be able to be a part of His commission of taking the death, burial, resurrection of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, that men might hear the truth, be saved, baptized, and then trained in the Word of God. And God's given you a part in that, and it might be that the part that He's gifted you in and the part that He's given you is small, and it might be that it's large, but understand with me, each and every one of us play a part in the body when we're submitted to the head. We do. But when it's not about Christ, and when the body is not about Christ, and the body's not interested in following Christ and doing its distinct part as the head has instructed it to, then a body has problems. Come on. When a body does not follow the instructions of its head, we have a bad physical problem. Come on, when there's a mind and a head that can think and that knows exactly what it wants to do, and yet when it sends instructions, they aren't making it down to that foot. Come on, we probably all know people that have been in that circumstance. I can't get my foot to move the way I remember my wife's uncle Jim, and he just had old age, and then he had Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease. I'm sorry, and he was just so frustrated that he would stand there and he would just sit. He would say this: "I'm telling my foot to move; it just will not go." That's a frustrating thing, friend. I mean, that's got to be just, I want to pick that up. I want my arm to reach out and pick that up. And it just seems like we do it with just no effort at all, that we do it without any kind of, honestly thinking. But the reality is this, that my arm doesn't reach out and come back and draw it back to me without the mind telling it to do something. Yeah. I mean, there's something from this brain that gets down to this hand that tells these little phalanges to go moving. Yeah. It does. And we know, we understand, if you look at the body, you got the spinal column and the nerves and this snaps and that snaps and nerve endings and all those kind of things. But understand with me, the thing that puts the church in motion and the things that gets the church moving and the thing that gets the church body going, listen, we call that thing the Spirit. Yeah. We call that the Spirit. You say, how important is the Spirit of God in the house of God? Oh, my friend, it's vital. No. How important is the Spirit of God in the life of the believer? I'm just saying, it's something that we understand this. We cannot live without. We cannot function without. We cannot move without. And if we were to not have the Spirit of God to give direction to the body and to give direction to the parts, to get information from the head down to the legs and to the heart and to every other part of the body, then friend, listen, we're paralyzed. We're paralyzed. We have to have the moving of the Spirit of God. The gift of the Spirit are for the body. Listen, they're not necessarily for the individual, for the body as a whole. Say, nope, it's just this one little thumb that's getting all the work of the Spirit. No. It's for the body as a whole. Men want to act like gifts of the Spirit are given unto them that they might be able to be seen. that they might be able to be out front. That they might be able to be, if we can say it like this, a little puffed up. And we know that to be true of those who were in Corinth. That they were very puffed up of the things that they got to do and the work that they got to do. And this is a reality that when spiritual gifts and the working of the Spirit become about something other than the body functioning and the body working together distinctly as God intends for it to happen. And so that what's seen is not the right arm and what's seen is not the big toe. But what's seen is Christ. Come on. If something else other than Christ is being seen out of this body, then listen to me. The problem is we're puffed up and we think that the Spirit's here for us instead of us here to be obedient to the Spirit. And we're out randomly doing our own thing and doing our own function, but we're not functioning in accordance to the body. And I'm telling you, we have a problem, or what the Bible's, what we're going to look at later next week, a schism in the body. Schism, there's a problem in the body. And the problem is this, that we're doing our thing so that we can be seen instead of doing His thing so He can be seen. And I'm telling you, when it comes to spiritual gifts, men have a problem with that. The Spirit does give distinctly. And the Spirit does give liberally. And the Spirit does give us ability to do amazing things. But none of it for us. All of it for the purpose of the edification of the body. And the building up of the body. And listen, for us to be puffed up and for us to be in pride about what only the Spirit of God could do to begin with. Did you hear me? For us to be puffed up and prideful about what we really had no part in to begin with, it's only by the work of the Spirit that I have any gifts to impart unto you to begin with. It's nothing special about me. It's a work that He's done and a work that He's imparted. And understand, for me to be puffed up in the distinct gift and the distinct part that I play in a body is nothing other than pride. It's nothing other than pride. And this is the problem. The Bible says God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And when we see people, when you watch people that are puffed up about the gifts that they have, like I'm God's gift to music. I'm God's gift to preaching. I'm God's gift to Sunday school teaching. I'm God's gift to the bus route. And I'm God's gift to the sick and shut-ins. And I'm God. No. You're a part of a body as God intended. And you've been gifted by the Spirit of God. And gifted by the Spirit of God. It's not about you. What I'm trying to say is it's not about you. It's about Him. Yeah. It's always been about Him. It's always to be about Him. It's not about me. And maybe this is a reality that when it comes to the work of God and the work of the church and the things that God's doing, it might be that some people are lying about what the Spirit of God's doing. Come on. It just might be that some people are lying about all the amazing gifts that they have in their pride. It might be that the work of the Spirit in their lives really isn't the work of the Spirit, but the work of the flesh. And that's a reality. We can do things in our flesh. I can get things accomplished in my flesh. I mean, I'm telling you, I can go out and I can labor and I can work. I can get things done in the flesh. But that does not mean that I've been a blessing unto the body. But only when I'm yielded to the Spirit can I be a blessing of the body. When I'm yielded to the Spirit and the working of God, and when I acknowledge that it's not about me, it's not about what I can do, it's not about me, what I bring to the party and how special a part I am to the body, it's about the body itself, Christ is the head, Christ is in leadership, and me just following His direction. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ looked at His disciples, and He looked at them and He said, listen, when you've done all that you've been commanded to do, just be reminded, you're still unprofitable servants. That's how Christ looked at His disciples. And we want to puff ourselves up like, man, I did something great for God. No, you just did what you were told. Yeah. Come on, I don't get down and look at my hand and go, oh, man, you got that taco up to my mouth perfectly. Thank you. Come on, I'm telling you, I'm not that I'm not thankful for motor skills. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think if you see someone that doesn't have the motor skills that a normally functioning body has, I mean, it ought to make you very grateful that you aren't in that position. But understand with me, on a regular basis, I don't go, oh, foot, would you please move when I say move? Thank you. Oh, thank you. Come on. No. And when that's the case, that man, I did something and everybody should pat me on the back. And everybody should notice. And everybody should take note of what I did. I shared my gift. Well, thank you. I mean, honestly, come on. I've done something special for the body. You showed up? Man, I get out of bed, I expect all the parts to come with me. Come on, I get out of the car if I'm leaving parts behind. I mean, I've got a major problem. I don't stop and go, hey, spleen, I'm so glad you showed up today and worked fine. I mean, come on, we don't think like that, do we? And yet we expect when we come to the house of God and we get around the believers that God's called together into this church and into this assembly, that for some reason, well, what I am doing is more thankworthy than what everybody else is doing. And everybody needs to stop and take notice. Friend, you're a part of a body. I mean, I'm thankful that you're here, just as I'm thankful that every other part is here. And I'm thankful that you're functioning the way you should and that you're doing the part that you've been gifted of God to do. But understand with me, at the end of the day, the only one that deserves any glory is Christ. There's only one. It's not about, man, preacher did his part today by the grace of God. No, God. Okay, hey, the bus driver did his part today by the grace of God. Come on, because that's how everybody functions.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? That's how every body functions, yeah, by the grace of God.
Same.
I didn't get up under my own power today. I'm not keeping my heart beating by my own power. I don't have cognitive ability today by my own power, but the God of heaven, I have ability. Amen. Now listen, and he's likening the church here in Corinth to a body. And he's likening them to a body that is to be as Christ and is to be showing forth Christ. And he's trying to help them understand that the spiritual gifts that you have are about the work of the Spirit. It's not about the individual parts. It's not about me. It's about him. The work of the Spirit, the emphasis Paul puts on the spiritual gifts is the work of the Spirit, not the labor of the individual.
Yeah.
Someone goes and does some great thing. They do some miracle. I mean, I just spent a whole week experiencing tongues, all right? I believe where I would say, and someone was translating, and understand with me. And they were saying amen, just like you're saying amen. And there was a communication. And I'm just telling you, I knew more Spanish than I give myself credit for, I guess. But there was a communication that took place. And you say, how did that get done? Because I am a great orator. No. Because the Spirit of God's real. And the Spirit of God bears witness of itself. No, it has nothing to do with the individual, with any one individual. It has all to do with their submission unto the will of the head, and that's Christ. It has all to do with that. We must not forget that carnal people will try to gain glory unto themselves and try to act spiritual doing it. Come on, they were doing all sorts of wickedness and fighting, and they had contention among themselves because they were trying to do spiritual things in a spiritual place when they had nothing but carnality among them. And it's easy for us to fake our way through being spiritual instead of just yielding ourselves unto the Spirit. And there's a difference. It's not about us trying to fake our way through and us trying to hide the fact that we're really spiritually crippled. No, it's about the Spirit of God working through us for the glory of God. And these people, though, were carnal. The Spirit of God is like that spinal column, sending messages to all different parts of the body from the head that God might to receive glory from it. Look at verse number 13. It says, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, having all been made to drink into that one Spirit. Understand with me, when we're talking about being baptized in the body, we understand that we're also placed in the body as it pleased Him. And we're not talking about some spiritual, mystical baptism. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is very clear. Let me just read it for you quickly. Verses 1 through 6, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, and ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. We understand there's not like, all right, we got water baptism, and then we got Spirit baptism. Understand, that's not what he's trying to say. This isn't what Paul is saying. But in the idea of this, that we were placed in the body as it pleased him, come on. And it is the Spirit of God that by which we have opportunity to be saved, according to Ephesians. I guess I could read that to you. Ephesians in chapter number 1, it says this in verse number 13, verse number 12, that we should be to the praise and the glory of the first who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, that ye that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, the sealing of the Spirit of God accompanies our salvation. When I put my faith in Christ, I was sealed with the Spirit. It came at the same time. He's not talking about some secondary spiritual baptism that I have to experience sometime after my salvation. And we're going to talk more about tongues as we get further into the book of 1 Corinthians. But I just want to be clear on this point. The reality is this, that the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that placed me here, is the same Spirit that saved me, is the same Spirit that by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption, and the same Spirit by which you are saved that caused you to be placed here as well. Yeah. He puts all the parts in the right place, is what he's trying to say. Yeah. By his Spirit. No. He puts every part exactly where he desires for it to be. It's not about nationality. It's not about whether you're bond or free. It's not Jew or Gentile. But listen, we've been all made to drink of the one Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that brings the parts of the body together. And it's the Spirit of God that knows exactly what part he needs you to play. Well, how would he know it? Because it's all about him to begin with. Right. Why does he get to choose? Because it's all about him. It's not about me. You say, well, how does it that he would... it says, verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Well, how does he know what we need here? He's the head. He's the head. You say, well, I think we need more people in church. I'm always for more people being at church. I am. But I know this as well, the Spirit of God knows what parts are here, and the parts that are here are capable of functioning as a full body. You with me? No. You say, well, I think we should need a bigger place, a bigger this, a bigger... I'm for it. I'm for all those things. If God opens the door, I'm for bigger everything. Always. Always am. But listen to me. We don't have to wait to function as Christ in our community. We aren't sitting here paralyzed going, man, if we just had some more musicians, and if we just had some more preachers, and we just had some more soul winners, and we just had some more this, and we just had some more that. No, friend, listen. The Spirit of God knows who's here. And He's the one that placed us here. And He didn't place us here for any other reason other than to function as a body in Christ. And as the body of the Lord here in Bellingham, Washington, God wants us to function. And for us to sit around and think, well, I think we need to do this before we can fulfill the command of Christ. And before I can go soul winning. And before I can be obedient to the Lord, then this or that needs to happen. I'm telling you, you're being rebellious to the head. And the reality is this, when we start thinking for the head, we paralyze the body. When we decide that, listen, I'll do the thinking from here, and you know what, we just can't do more kids functions because we just don't have the laborers, and so I'm just against more kids functions, and we can't go out and start another church because of this reason or that, and we can get ourselves all wrapped up into the thinking that only the head was supposed to do when God intended me to just function as the member of the body that He gifted me to be. And when I start functioning as something else, all I do is provide paralyzation. I don't know about you, but I've got a bad ankle. And there are days where I've just walked too much on it. And I have to get off my ankle. And if I limp a little bit, it causes me to have pain in my hip. My right hip, my right ankle causes pain in my left hip and my left knee. And I'm telling you, it tightens up the muscles in my left leg. And there are days where it's like it hurts. And I'll go to sleep at night. And you can ask my wife, I'll toss and turn because my left hip just killing me. Well, why? Because I have a bad right ankle. Come on. And guess what? That ankle bone's connected to this knee bone, that's connected to this foot bone, that's connected to this hip bone. And they all function together for better or for worse. And sometimes for worse. And listen, the house of God and the body of Christ has been brought together by His Spirit for the purpose that He has directed for you to fulfill the role that He has given is the same way. You say, well, I just feel like our church is limping a little bit. Why? Come on, that's a simple answer. There's a something's out of joint. Some part's out of place. Now, here's also the reality. I can only fulfill my role. I can only fulfill my part. The only part I can play is the part that God's given me. And the only part that I can be responsible for making sure, listen, I'm going to be in obedience to the Spirit of God. And I'm going to make sure what I'm doing is in accordance to the Spirit of God. I'm the only one that I can account for. Guess who gets to account for you? And your obedience to your head is between you and the head. Understand me. I'm here to instruct you to be obedient to the head. Whether or not you're obedient to Christ and His Word, well, you're going to stand and give an account before God for that. You say, well, I just didn't like the way that things were going, and so I made up my mind. Well, who gave you the opportunity to make up your mind? You're not the head. So I have the leadership of the Spirit of God that would go contrary to His Word, that would paralyze a body, that would lame a body, that would cause one to limp. You have that instruction of the Spirit of God? That God said, listen, you just need to have a bad attitude. Come on, think about that a little bit. Hey, God just said, hey, listen, I want you to be opposing to other people. I don't want you to be friendly to other members of this body. Come on, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you, friend? That's the Spirit of God. I just had this great unction of the Spirit of God that I was to cause a fight and a skirmish and a struggle between me and some other believer. That's not how the body's supposed to work. I'm telling you, I think God intended that the body would be a well-functioning piece of machinery. Not that it'd be limping around, maimed, halt, and blind. And if we're not careful, we can start doing the thinking for the body. And here's the problem, is we've determined that the body and the work of the body is not about what Christ would want. And it's not unto Him and for Him and through Him. It's about what we want. And if we're not careful, we as a part, as we have been gifted by the Spirit of God, and as a part of the body, can get to a place where we think it's all about us instead of about Him. And friend, listen to me. It's never about you. Never has been. Never will be. But it's always been about Him. And it always will be. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.